بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Some person went to a Buzurg for his reformation, correction, whatever. But when his eyes fell on the Buzurg, he couldn't believe what he had seen. The Buzurg saw from the impression on his face, okay, there is something that's troubling him. So he asked him, hey, what's your problem? He said, no, I can't say it. I can't speak about it. No, do say it. No, it's unspeakable. You can't even talk about it. You won't talk about it because of yourself, but because of my instruction, now you say what you need to say. So, now it's come from the Buzurg that because of his instruction you must say it. So he says, I see in you the face of a swine. So the Buzurg told him, alright, this is what you're going to do. Give him some talim, some zikr, whatever. So he started the zikr, whatever else he had asked him to do. You go through that. After a period of time, then he asked him, now, how do you see it? He said, no, now I see the face of a cat, right, much better than what it was. And then, now I see the face of a human being. And carried on working on him. And now what do you see? Well, now I see a face as brilliant as the sun. The Buzurg explained to him, see, the first time that you had saw my face, al-mu'minu mir'atun li'akhi. A believer is a mirror for his brother. So you saw your reflection. You saw your reflection on myself. So this is how you saw yourself. So all the characteristics, the behavior of a swine was in you. There was greed in you, shamelessness in you. You can think of the wrong and it was in you. That was the first. It was the time that you had just come in. This was your condition. And then gradually we worked on you over a period of time, months, years, etc. We worked on you. And then you moved on, then to a cat, then to a human being. Now you see yourself as a brilliant sun. So this was your beginning. Now all that wrong has been weeded out of you. It's flushed out of you. And it's flushed out of you. Now you see yourself in a different form. So when a person is coming for Islam, coming for reformation, then what is he coming for? So he's coming for two things basically. Correcting his relationship with Allah Ta'ala and correcting his relationship with people. On this earth, you can't be living a life of isolation on a mountaintop or in a cave, right? At some point, you will need someone. How wealthy and prosperous you are, or how poor and dilapidated you may be, but you will need someone. In the morning, as the wealthy leaves his home, then he requires the services of the poor. Without the service of the poor, his business can't function. He needs to build something, then without the poor, then he can't build. He needs to do some type of a business operation, then without the poor, he can't work. So the wealthy requires the poor. And the poor, without the services of the wealthy, he can't function. He needs work. So he needs to refer to the wealthy. So these differences are created by Allah Ta'ala. And sadly, what happens, unfortunately, what we begin to feel you will begin to recognize people according to their status, their social status, financial status, then we begin to recognize people accordingly. If you hear now a multi-billionaire has come, so our eyes will just pick up a multi-billionaire. So what a type of a person must be. So our eyes will pick up. So now it's an ordinary shop, a small little shop, so that we don't think of looking at him much. So we rate the person according to his financial standing, social standing, and financial standing. But really, this is not the way to rate a person. Brother Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullahi had gone for an invite. Very simple clothing he had put on, and he went to the invite. So in many countries, then, like I explained, at the airport, you have a security check before you enter the airport terminal, right? So same in an invite, because you're going to expect a lot of unexpected people, so they have some checkpoint, right? That uninvited person, he may be turned away. So they have someone at the checkpoint. So the Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullahi came for the invite, and he came in ordinary attire, very simple attire, and they turned him away. So he said, "No, but I'm invited." "No, no, you're not invited." So he made out what was the problem. He went home, told one of his friends, "Give me some smart clothing, really smart, you know, impressive clothing, what is worn by the ultra wealthy." So he got some clothing, all the thing. Now he came in, so he now gave him a warm, big welcome, big reception, and they ushered him, gave him so much of respect. At first, now they threw him out. Now, gave such a reception, such a respect. So he went into the invitation, and then as the food, etc., was placed before him, so he took one morsel, put it into one pocket, took another morsel, put it into another pocket, took another morsel, right, started filling his pockets. So the host, people that are around, the guests are around, they're wondering, what is wrong with this person? Is he right mentally? But that's not the place where you put in the food. And he is filling the food into clothing instead of in his mouth. So they asked him, he said, "No, it seems like the clothing were invited. I wasn't invited. I wasn't invited. Clothing were invited. So the one that was invited, I am respecting him. Like I was the same person that came before, and I was turned around. I was turned down. And now the clothing came. When the clothing came, then it was respected. So what was respected, I'm respecting that. It won't be fair that I don't respect the thing that is being respected." So sometimes people miss the mark. They don't understand how to read a person, how to see a person. It's not because of the social standing or of the financial standing that you respect a person. Now you come here, someone talks with the twang, comes from Britain, for example, he's talking with the twang, right? So now we get very interested in listening to him. But he's speaking like an ordinary Indian, then we don't show that type of interest. But both are the same. What they're talking is the same. The substance they are giving is not different. So the language doesn't bring about any intelligence. If the language brought about any intelligence, then we all have got some vernaculars, right? And if we speak our vernaculars well, nobody attributes any intelligence to that, right? You can speak Urdu very well, or you can speak the local black languages very well. So you don't say now, he's a very intelligent person. But suddenly he speaks English in a twang, then we accord a lot of respect. What's the difference? This is a language, that's a language. Is there anything additional to this? There's nothing additional to it. So we get confused. Sometimes the language, sometimes the presentation, My one friend has got a shop in Grace Street. Grace Street. Now, Grace is where the Indians normally trade, right? And in those days, when we were young, so the whites had shops along West Street. All the whole of West Street, you see, it's only a white. Right? So now, white people would understand now, all right, how things work. So they'll go and see in West Street. They want to pick and select a suit. They'll go into West Street first. So they'll see the type of suit they want. Right? For example, it's Wolfson's, right? So they'll go and see the same brand, same type of clothing, what it's priced at. There they will see it's priced at about £50. The type of using pounds. So £50 is a lot of money, lots of money. Yeah? A normal person would be earning about £25 a month. I can imagine now £50 is a lot of money, right? So he saw that suit, he liked it. He comes to Grey Street, and he looked for the same suit. Wolfson, same brand, same name, same type. Now he sees it's marked about £15, £20. Same thing there, it's marked at 50. Same thing here, it's marked at about 15. Right? Exactly the same thing. But just that it was marked differently there. It was marked differently here. So we come and buy it from here. See? So sometimes what happens to us is we miss out, we misunderstand what is supposed to be, what is man? What is man? That's why the poet says, Admiyat lahmo shahmo posnest. Admiyat lahmo shahmo posnest. Admiyat just riza et dost nest. What is to be a man? Man is not the skin. Man is not the language. Man is not the outer self. Clothing, presentation, the language, and the looks. That's not man. Then what makes up a man? Admiyat just riza et dost nest. What makes a man is he becomes Allah wala. He begins to give himself to Allah Ta'ala. He dedicates himself to Allah Ta'ala. Now this is a man. Otherwise the rest of it is not men. They may be appearing like men as though they've got a costume of man. So it's an animal in a cast costume of man. So, but you'll see all the beastly qualities in him. Everything that's in an animal, you'll find it in him. Right? Just that in this day what happens, that person behaves like a beast, but in a more glossified manner. It's more polished. Right? Same thing, exactly what you'll find in an animal, you'll find in this person, but he's doing it in a more glossified, more polished manner. Right? Person became insolvent, right? So the bank won't hesitate in attaching all his property. Leave him penniless, leave him in the streets. He won't hesitate in doing so. Right? So what's the difference between him and an animal, right? See, there they very polished presentation is very good, right? They got the legal support, but they will leave the person absolutely penniless. They won't hesitate in doing so. They won't think twice in doing so. But the animal does the same thing. That thing will kill the next one, and is not bothered what's happening to that person. He's not bothered at all. It doesn't hurt him. No feelings, immune. Absolutely, feelings are totally dead. No human feelings whatsoever. In a dignified, respectable society, then there is something like shame. There is something like modesty, right? Now that immodesty prevails, right? But in a more glossified and polished manner. They'll do it the same thing in a dance club, in a nightclub, right? It's all the same haram they will do. What they were doing, what some people are doing it in the open, you'll find another group doing the same haram, right? But at a different venue. When they're doing it in a different venue, the nightclub or whatever other club they're doing it, now it's given a glossified look. It's given a glossy look, so the person is going for the gloss. And he says, no, this is respectable, dignified. Whereas the haram is the same, whether it's this or that. Yeah? If it is filth, right? Number two, filth it is. And if it's presented, right, just raw is presented, it's still filth. And you give a gloss, you put some moss and give it a gloss, it'll still remain filth. You don't want to change the thing. The filth remains the filth. Just that the presentation was different now. So what Islamic character refers to is that your relationship with people must be correct. The relationship with Allah Ta'ala must be correct. It's not a one-sided thing that you just improved your relationship with people. You've been good to people, but you feel content about that, that's not sufficient. As you are being good to people, you are being good to Allah Ta'ala as well. So you didn't violate people's rights, but by the same token, you haven't violated the rights of people, of Allah Ta'ala, of people, right? So both rights you have not violated. Right? Like for example, you came to the masjid, right? And you came into the first surf. Right? So you honored the right of Allah Ta'ala, and you came and you occupied the first surf. Right? But you parked your car incorrectly. So you violated someone's right. You fulfilled the right of Allah Ta'ala. You honored the right of Allah Ta'ala. But outside the masjid, you violated someone else's right. Now is it right? So both rights, you have to guard the right of people, guard the rights of Allah Ta'ala, both. Now, you get the two extremes. One is the one that's only concerned about the rights of people, and you get the other that is only concerned about the rights of Allah Ta'ala. Now, these two extremes, they are not on cause. The one that is on cause, see, the Quran Sharif speaks about Surah Fatiha, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الظَّالِّينَ, right? غَيْرِ, they say, is for مُغَيْرَت, and also for nafi, as compared to la. La is only for nafi. So now, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ for مُغَيْرَت and for nafi. We say مُغَيْرَت and nafi. In other words, to show that it's something totally different. مُغَيْرَت, غَيْرِ, something, it's a totally different thing. And nafi is to, like, to reject complete. It has nothing to do with it. So that is why the Quran has used the word غَيْر, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الظَّالِّينَ. That you are starting off with صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. You want to be included into the group of the favored, right? You want to be amongst the favored. So this favored class is something totally different, you know. Say غَيْر, you know, different. It's totally different to مَغْضُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ, and it's totally different to وَلَا الظَّالِّينَ. So the favored is something else, and مَغْضُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ and وَلَا and ظَالِّينَ are different. مَغْضُوبَ and ظَال are different, and the أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ مُنْعَمْ عَلَيْهِمْ is different, two totally different, poles apart. Right? And the word غَيْر has got two meanings. One is to show two both are totally different, and also to show, also to totally reject. No, I've got nothing to do with it. This, I want to be amongst the favored class, and I want nothing, I want to have nothing with this one here. So you see, it's got that dual meaning. Different and to have nothing. So صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, to be in the class that is favored. You're asking Allah Ta'ala His favor, that He must include you amongst those that He's favored. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. So when you're saying that you want to be amongst the favored, then you are asking for something special. What are you asking for? To be amongst the favored, right? But there's also some level of humility in that. That I'm not something that's not something exclusive. I'm going to be amongst the rest of the favored people. See, so when you talk of love and all that, then man wants to be something exclusive. I'm something totally different, right? Distinguished, outstanding, right? That's man's mind. But you say, no, Allah Ta'ala, just the favored class. I don't want to be maghdoob, I don't want to be dhalli, just the favored class. So you don't want to be a distinguished person, you don't want to be something unique, something totally different from everybody else. No, you're not asking for that. Asking for to be something totally different, unique, outstanding, conspicuous, it means you don't want to be amongst people. You consider yourself to be something superior. No. So just an ordinary person. Understand who you are. When you understand who you are, then you know how to work yourself. You're just a number. In the creation of Allah Ta'ala, who are you? Just a number. So when you are a number, then behave like a number. Then don't behave like something unique. So the Surah Fatiha is teaching you some level of humility. See, when we come into this type of surroundings, then it must strike some humility in us. Humility, tawazu, we think nothing of ourselves, right? For a moment we think, right, without the grace of Allah Ta'ala, what are you? Absolutely nothing. Just the grace of Allah Ta'ala, and He covers you, and then you are everything. In this journey you come across a lot of people, you know, when you're traveling, a lot of situations, a lot of, came across a person, extremely popular, very, very, very popular, right? Known, respected and loved, right? Now he's totally helpless. Diapers, memory loss, senile, everything. Once upon a time was such a popular person, such a liked person, such a respected person. I saw that period, now I see him in this state here. So you see, mankind, right? The different phases of mankind. So can there be anything that he can be boastful about? Where he was, not he is now. Can there be anything? He can't be boastful. That reminds you of your childhood, as though it's like a second childhood. Like in your childhood, you were totally dependent, right? You required diapers, you required people to support you. You couldn't understand concepts, right? You couldn't eat yourself. Now, again, when you pass through your old age, then you come to extreme old age, then you become like a child again. Memory loss, you are messing up, you need someone to move you around, right? If you don't have someone to move you around, then you need to have at least a wheelchair. Like in a childhood, you need a carriage, right? Or if you are a little bit mobile, then you require a walker. So the child also requires a walker, you require a walker. Child requires a diaper, you require a diaper, right? It's like a second childhood. So can there be anything that you can be boastful about? So when you think about your whole history, right, the beginning till the end, then you realize that you are just a heap of needs, full of needs, conglomeration of needs. From the head to the toe is nothing but needs. And there is no kamal in you. The person that we saw, or an educated person, learned person, right? And now he's got a total memory loss, senile, can't remember things, right? What he was, what a great learned, educated person. And now this is total senile, his memory has been covered. Memory loss, total memory loss. Everything is gone. So where he was and what he is now, isn't this something for man to understand? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. We created man in the best of molds. And then we reduce him to the lowest of the low. Right? You get other creations, then at any level, at any stage, that animal is useful. If it's old, you can still slaughter it, eat its meat, use up its skin, etc. But man, when he's old, in age, any use, senile, loss of memory, the beauty is gone, he's missing himself all the time. Is he of any use now? See, when we elevate him to the highest of the high, and then when we lower him to the lowest of the low, and at that point, then he is of no use. So you see, it's a failure on our part that we don't look at the different phases of our lives. We just look at the present, and we think that we are locked up in this present, and we won't move out from this present phase. But if we just look at the beginning and the end, what we were and what we will be, then we understand that there's nothing for us to be proud about. Right? So Allah Ta'ala says, us to recite the surah, Surah Fatiha, amongst the people that have been favored. Right? So you just a number there, so remain like a number. Don't you ask to be distinguished, unique, outstanding, a chip over others. No, don't consider yourself to be like that. Just you're an ordinary person, remain like that. And in that is a lot of security, is a lot of peace, a lot of ease. Because when you are carrying on modestly, with humility, then you aren't envied, there's no jealousy, but now you're one of its kind. Then there's a lot of envy against you, there's a lot of jealousy against you, right? There's a lot of rivalry against you. So everybody's trying to climb up the same ladder, right? And you're getting up, and they're not getting up there. So there's going to be a lot of jealousy, there's going to be a lot of envy. But to be a simple, ordinary person, there's a lot of afiyat, a lot of ease, a lot of security in that. So both dini-wise and dunya, both in respect to the both, it's easier to be modest and to be humble. And both ways, deen and dunya, is destructive to act proud and to be arrogant. I remember in this Afghan war, you know, so one of the superpowers that were fighting against them, so they said, yeah, before they could fight, before they could start off, we are the super duper power. Super duper power. And in about 3 days, they were raised to the ground. So what a super duper with? They were really embarrassed. When they came in, they came up, you know, super duper power. Nobody can annihilate us. You know, even that ship in that maiden voyage, and how they say unbreakable and all that. And in the maiden voyage, Allah made such, it crashed. So there isn't anything in man that he can be boastful about. In the maiden voyage, you know, where they build a thing, something of its kind, unbreakable, uncrashable, you can't crash the thing, can't break the thing. Allah made the thing in the maiden voyage, it was destroyed, class. So man needs to think. Sometimes you are seated in the best of aircraft, right? Aircraft, I think, caught to a certain height, and then you'll find some turbulence, right? And when there's a turbulent, and the plane is dipping a little bit, right? For a moment, you'll find total silence aboard, right? Khuda khair kare. Iza ghashiyahum mawjun kazzulari da'awu allaha mukhlisina al-din. Allah speaks about it in the Quran Sharif. Mawjum min fuqim. Yeah, it's covered by clouds. Covered in the day of the revelation of the Quran. Right, it was boats that you were navigating, right? So now Allah is giving a simile, striking simile. So you boarded the plane, and now you are covered with waves from beneath, from above, from the sides. You're getting smashed and bashed. So at that time, what happens to the man? What happens? One friend of mine had to do some work for one of these holiday cruises. And he says they were just off Maputo. And at night now, and that storm came. You know, he says the waves, they were like smashing us from beneath. Let alone smashing us from above, from beneath, like, you know, like you got a hammer, and that hammer is hammering you from beneath. It's an experience, you know. So when you're in that state, what happens? Da'awu Allah mukhlisina. You're covered from all sides, from all the second problem. So the same happens in a plane as well. The same happens in day-to-day life. You have problems from underneath. Is ja'ukum min fawqikum wa min asfala minkum wa izzaghatil absar. Problems are coming from under. Problems come from above, right? You can't see it. You can't think. You can't reason at that time. So now in modern days, you're traveling by planes. You cannot say that you're free of this totally. You have the turbulence, sometimes severe turbulence, right? And in the severe turbulence, you must see how people react, how the responses are at that time. In a plane, when there's a severe turbulence, in fact, for that moment, there is some total silence. Everybody's gone. That cheering and that mood of cheering and all that is gone, finished. At the moment, everybody's scared. Until the plane comes back to normality. And then the pilot will, or the captain will announce, sorry for that, we are back to normal. Sorry, we just went through some airspace, some turbulence and all that, and we're back to normal. Don't they announce that? They announce it. They make it known that this is what happened to us. You see? So these are small glimpses, small examples for man to reflect. You can see yourself. See how helpless you are. You thought now you came to that airspace and you're controlling air. But one turbulent finished. One turbulent and gone. People that are investing, right, in the stock market, see what happens to them. If one investment is just going, what happens? How the hearts palpitate. Hey, what's happening? Looking into a computer, stock exchange, and how the thing is just crashing. And they know what it means. I know around 93, I think, 93, 94, right? So, my party had invited some people in Jamaat, invited them at his residence. And they were introducing them, oh, this person here, he's worth so much. At that time, that person was worth about 5 billion, I think, that person was worth. So he had shares in Pick and Pay and all these things here. So a very wealthy person, he was invited there. And you could see anxiety on the man's face. So I just inquired, what happened? Why is this person so anxious? If he's that wealthy, then there's so much of anxiety on his face. You don't know. Well, some of his shares are just crashing. So then what? Others are working. So no, but you don't know what it means. You're telling me? You don't know what it means. That share just crashing means he's doing sometimes 10 million a day. 20 million a year, 30 million a year. That's what it means. So why won't there be anxiety? So I ask you, are you in control of anything? When you're not in control of anything, but there's nothing for you to be proud about. So the importance of reciting La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no strength, no ability to score, to gain, or to save yourself from any type of loss. No ability to save yourself. No ability to gain without you. We can't gain. We can't get it. It's with you that we'll gain. It's with you that we'll guard ourselves. Gain or guard, it's only coming from you. We will apply the structures, right? Whatever structures are required, we'll apply that. That's the most that we can do. But to make it happen, that is the work of Allah Ta'ala. You can't do anything beyond that. Just gain or guard. But that comes purely by the decision of Allah Ta'ala. So we're coming to the word Maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Maghdub generally refers to the Jews, and dhal generally refers to the Christian, right? So Allah Ta'ala says that now, you ask for this dua, you may not be amongst these two classes. So is it now restricted to these two classes? So it's not restricted to these classes. If it's not restricted to these two classes, then why did the Quran say restricted to these two classes? So, the Quran said restricted to these two classes is because When people go astray, they fall into one of these two categories. When they go astray, they drift from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, right? From the straight path, then they drift into one of these two categories. Straight away. One of these two categories. Maghdub alayhim or waladdallin. So, the Maghdub alayhim, the perfect example for Maghdub alayhim is the Jew, and the perfect example for waladdallin is the Christian. So now, what is in it, what is in them that makes them the example for Maghdub alayhim? So the Jew went off. What he went off? What was the reason for him going off? He went off in spite of education, in spite of learning, right? They had the learning. That's why the Quran Sharif calls them Ulul Ilm, Utul Kitab, people of the book. When the Quran Sharif addresses the Jew, what he addresses them with? Utul Kitab. Doesn't he address them with Utul Kitab? So they are addressed with Utul Kitab, Ulul Ilm, people of knowledge, people of the book. So that means they had the knowledge. Then what caused their fall and decline? See, they had the knowledge, but then what caused their fall and their decline? حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. After knowing the truth, then it was the jealousy. Why did these people excel and we didn't excel? Why were they chosen? Why were not we chosen, right? Why was their Qibla made as the official Qibla, and why our Qibla was cancelled? So we'll fix Allah. That's what they're saying. Na'uzubillah, we'll fix Allah. We won't accept this. And in the whole situation, they got fixed up. See, they thought that they'll fix Allah, but what happened? They got fixed up. So you, any other group that went astray, they fall into one of these two categories. They have the knowledge. In spite of having knowledge, understanding, education, then too they drift away from the truth. So they come under the category of Maghdub alayhim, translated as the accursed, right? So they cursed for what reason they cursed? Because they had the knowledge, they had the understanding, they had the education, but they just preferred to block off their eyes. فَإِنَّا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبِ. So there is two type of vision. One is the apparent vision, right? You see things apparently, right? That you can see. But one is to recognize it and accept it. Now that requires the vision of the heart. That you accepting it, you are recognizing it, you are respecting it. Right? That requires the vision of the heart. Now if you have only got the vision of the eye, you don't have the vision of the heart, so you will see it, but you will not recognize it. جَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَرَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. So they rejected it, although they knew it was the truth. They knew that it was the truth, but they rejected it. So after knowing the truth, then they reject it. Now they know that the fallacy of this Darwin's theory, right? They know it's a fallacy. They know it's just a hypothesis. They know it's a fake, right? They know about it. But they're not prepared to move away from it. See, so they become the Maghdub alayhim. They become the Maghdub alayhim because they know it's wrong. They know someone faked it up. If you go into the whole discussion, then it's faked up, right? So they know about it that it's faked up, but then جَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتَا. You're convinced about the whole thing, but you don't want to accept it, right? It's so simple to understand that it's faked up, right? See, they say, man kept on progressing from this, from a worm to a germ to whatever, to an ape to a man, right? That's how the thing goes, right? So now, there's so many counter-arguments to that. One counter-argument is, if there is progress, anything if there's progress, then there's retrogress again, right? If there's an incline, there's a decline. That's how the world operates. If there's an incline, then there's a decline. Right? So now, if there was an incline, man development, right, developing. So he came to this point and he stopped, right? When he came to this point and he stopped at the level of man, there was no decline after that, coming down again. Show me in which part of the world so many men then turned to animals, apes, baboons, donkeys, right? Ever happened? Do you ever happen to see it? Was there a decline? But that's natural, you see. Any country, there's an incline, right? There's a rise and there's a decline. A rise and decline. So in the development of mind, there was a rise, right? Risen to that point. Was there a decline after that? Ever did you hear that there was a decline? Came there and stopped. There must have been a decline as well. The counter argument, right? Another thing that for them to consider is this, is that they felt that everything, you know, is rising up, everything coming up. So they come to the point of man, and then it stops there, right? That's what they believe. So all right, let's take that argument, go with that argument. Now what we want to know from you is that, right, if there was such a process, then it means that process was always, right? When the process was always, then show me, in every year there could have been so many animals transformed into man, right? Apes and all that. The tails are being chopped off, and then they're beginning to walk with two legs, becoming like straightforward men. Did you ever see now that transformation? Never did you see that transformation. You know, so they locked up, their brains got locked up, you see. The brains got locked up, why? Because they knew the truth, and they preferred going on this way. To me, this is a cult. This whole evolution thing is a cult, and it's got its roots in Hinduism. Because the Hindu also believes largely in Hanuman, monkey, right? They believe in a monkey god. So these people that believe in evolution, they must have got their roots with Hinduism, right? Napkin friends they may have been, so they built up like that, and they begin to think less. Then they sway the whole world. Now, the wrong with our people is, though, I showed about them, right? The wrong with us is this, that we are sending our darling children to these type of universities, schools, colleges, and they're getting this type of education, right? Right? When they're getting this type of education, then there's so many university people that write up, or phone up, or inquire. You know, we came across this thing here, our lecturer convinced us that this is how it is, right? So, you sending your child there, and the child's beliefs are getting warped, they're getting poisoned, and did you give him any antidote to clear himself? Did you think about that? Or you just thought one way, you know, he must just get those degrees, whether his beliefs go or not. That's immaterial, irrelevant. But he must just get that. So his beliefs can go, everything can go, it's all right. But as long as he gets those, he must get that, then we can recognize him. See? So that's the problem with us. So we expose the children to these things here, and he got contaminated with this poison. When he got contaminated with this poison, and we're not concerned about flushing the poison out of the system. First of all, you're not supposed to be poisoning your child. You poison the child, then after that, you're not even concerned about flushing him. I ask you that you have got the belief of a hereafter, life after death. Allah is going to ask you that you contaminated his brains, his mind. Did I ask you to contaminate? Was the university or the school or the secular education the provider of rosy and sustenance? Why am I the provider? So what's your answer going to be there? So this is Maghdubi Alayhim, and then there's one class of people always, right, irrespective of what religion they belong to, through the pretexts of education, or in spite of being educated, they still go off. So they all come under the category of Maghdubi Alayhim. See that? Two categories. So whatever he may be, but it's Maghdubi Alayhim. The other category of people is Dhallin, right? Dhallin, those that went astray, right? It's a literal translation. But now, what was the bottom line? What was the gist of the wrong? Here I showed you what was the essence of the wrong. What was the essence of their wrong? The essence of their wrong, was this, that they went into blind following. When you see blind following now, one is to follow, right? Following the right or the right person is a command of the Quran and the Hadith. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي is the people that Allah Ta'ala guides, so you follow in their footsteps. So to guide the right is the instruction of the Quran. And not to follow them is against the Quran. So to follow the rightly guided is the instruction of the Quran and the instruction of the Hadith. خلفاء اتبعوا سنة خلفاء الراشدين المهديين. Follow the ways of the rightly guided Khalifas. Don't you find that in the Hadith? بأيهم اقتديتم اهتديتم. Whoever you follow, then you will be guided. So what is the Quran that is telling you? That there will be a right group, a group of righteousness, an embodiment of right, then you can't take this path yourself. You'll have to follow in their footsteps. That's what the Quran Sharif is saying. Right. So one is to follow those that are rightly guided. Now, you'll have to do it in this world. Everybody is not of the same level of intelligence. Whether you like it or you don't like it, but it's a fact that everybody is not of the same level of intelligence. Right? If everybody is all identical in their intelligence, then there was no need for you to refer to any specialist. Right? Because all of us are alike. All have got intelligence. Right? So is there a need for you to refer to? No. So you in the worldly sphere also, you refer to someone. Right? You need to put up a building. Right? Then so you can't say that, no, I'm a Maulana, so I can do it myself. You'll have to go to an architect, an engineer, do the designing, do the structuring, all that. Then you put up the building. So you had to go and ask, find out. But from a person who was acquainted with the science, you want to go for a heart surgery, right? You can't say, I'm a doctor, so I can do it myself. Start cutting yourself. Can you do it yourself? Come. So you will have to take the services of someone that is more capable than yourself in that regards, right? So that applies both to deen and dunya. So to say now that this is wrong, that no, we have to do ourselves, we don't have to listen to anybody, that's wrong. It's extremism. It's a type of an extremism. People have gone off the mark, right? So one group has gone off like this, that we can't follow anybody, right? Do it ourselves. And the other is called blind following. Whether the person is right or wrong, we're not concerned, we just have to follow him. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. So when you talk to them, they say, no, نَتَّبِعُوا مَا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا. We follow our fathers, right? So Allah Pak puts a simple question to them. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. So the question the Quran Sharif puts before us is this, that in order for a person to be emulated and followed, he needs to have two things outstanding in him. What he needs, if you want to follow someone, then he must be outstanding in two respects. One is that he must be rightly guided. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُمْ لَا يَعْقِدُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. You say, no, I'll just go by the ways of my fathers. So you see the blind following. So are you going to follow them, even though they were totally off? Even if they went totally off, are you going to still follow them? So one is the person must be rightly guided. For the right guidance, he needs to have the right knowledge. If he doesn't have the right knowledge, can he be thinking right? Can't be thinking right. So the rightly guided, right? أَوَلَوْ كَانَ أَبَاهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْءَ وَلَا يَحْتَدُونَ. Right? So one is he needs to have the guidance, and number two, he needs to be understanding and seeing things correctly. Understanding and seeing things correctly. Because in guidance there will be two situations. One is what was, right? And what has happened now, right? There will be new developments coming up all the time. There's going to be new developments. In the light of that guidance, you'll have to apply your brains and bring about solutions. Right? So, there was something in the past, and there were new developments. For you to be able to apply yourself, you need to have the right brains, right understanding. Then you can apply. But if you don't have the right understanding, can you apply yourself? Can't apply yourself. I know some many years ago, I was in Johannesburg, you know. So there was a class of professional people. So the discussion was, what's the need to follow an alim? That was the discussion. So in the crowd, I wasn't known, so I just let them do the discussion, see the whole discussion, what is it all about, and then work out something. So let them discuss, carry on. Someone is a doctor, someone is a specialist, whatever. Let them do the discussion. So, see, reasoning is a different thing, and education is a different thing. Sometimes people feel, oh my God, I'm educated, I can reason. Well, it's not all the time that you can reason correctly with education. So people confuse the both. The ability of reasoning is a different thing, and education is a different thing. So I just gave a simple example, very, very simple example. Say, some days back, someone sent me an article from the Sunday Times, you know, sent me an article. There's a group in America, they call themselves Orthodox Christians, right? They're very Orthodox, and they go by the book, they go by the gospel. So that caught my attention, I read that article, came across that article, so it caught my attention. So then it goes on to say, and this group here, the Orthodox, very, very educated, very highly educated, but they also practice wife swapping. His wife is swapped with his wife, and his wife is swapped. So they carry on. So the question is that you say you are an Orthodox, right, evangelist or Christian, whatever, but then how do you explain this? How do you explain this? You swapping your wife with someone else, and someone is swapping his wife with someone else, and you belong to that fraternity. How do you work this out? So I'm reading that article now. So he says there that, no, we go by the gospel, you know. How we explain this is, Christ has instructed us to share our bread. See? To share our bread, right? Share. So whatever is of interest, we must share. Like the bread is of interest, we share. Wife is of interest, so we share. So see the reasoning, the qiyas. Qiyas is right or off? The qiyas is off, obviously, right? And those that did usul al-shashki, you know, they'll know why the qiyas is gone. The analysis and the reasoning is off. Because ta'lil fi muqabalatin nas. Now there's another chapter in its own, that why the reasoning is flawed, right? So now, in spite of the education, right, they went totally off, absolutely off. Such a embarrassing thing they went and did, right? And yet they feel very proudly that we are following the gospel, we are by the book. But how they went off? So you can't say that I have education and that's enough. Education, therefore I am guided. Education, and then you can understand, reason things correctly. So, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ أَبَاهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْءَوْ وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Must be on guidance and must have the ability to reason. You've got both, now it's complete. But you only got the guidance, but you can't reason. or you only got reasoning, but you don't have the guidance, then you're not complete, not perfect. You're not the perfect model to be emulated and followed. So, now the Christian went off because of blind following. Whatever the priest, the papa, pastor, whatever told him, he just took it on. If the haram became halal, he took it on. The halal became haram, he took it on. Like how you find now some groups have boycotted the Hajj, right? Because their head is saying now, boycott the Hajj. Right? Some groups, for political reasons, they boycotted the Hajj, right? So now, when they boycotted the Hajj now they went on to blind following. Hajj is compulsory, nobody can boycott it. Nobody can stop you. It's an obligation, namaz is for us. Can anybody say, you know, we're going to boycott namaz? Can you say it? Can anybody say that? You can't boycott the namaz, no matter who says it. Nobody's got the right to boycott it. Nobody's got the right to stop it, right? So, like you can't stop the namaz, you can't stop the Hajj. But their elders, or their papas, whoever, priests, asked them to boycott the Hajj. And they went and blindly followed them. So what you see now, they went off, completely off. So now, when the Quran says, what a dhalin, so one category of people will get lost in spite of their education, because of jealousy, pride, arrogance, etc. They are not prepared to come on. And the other one is not prepared to come on. They're not coming on. Why? Because they are blind following. So now the rest of the people that went on to blind following, they come under the same category. So mankind is lost because of one of these two. Either they know it or either they don't know it, right? They know it and they still persist, be stubborn on that because of jealousy, pride, arrogance, etc., whatever it is, right? And the other one, they don't know it, but they still prefer blind following, right? See, how beautiful this verse is. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الظَّالِمِ. So all the rest of the people of the world went astray because of one of these two reasons. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Nasib Kare.